You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a good start to your March. March is the month that International Women's Day happens to fall in. So on today's episode, we want to talk about women at the workplace. They make up more than 50% of Singapore's workforce. Did you know that, Adrian?
Yep, absolutely. And the theme for this year International Women's Day is Inspire Inclusion. To inspire others to understand and value women's inclusion, forging a better and more inclusive world for women. Something that we hope to hear more from our guest today.
Yeah, so let me introduce our guest. Her name is Jingjing Liu. I first met her maybe a couple of years ago when we were part of a panel discussion. And I gotta say, Jingjing's CV is incredible. And I'll be breathless by the time I finish listing all of it. She's rolling her eyes.
It'll be an entire episode.
Yes, but all you need to know is that she has notched several workplace battle scars. At 35, she was marketing director of a global automotive industry. So, first woman, first Asian, and first one so young.
And today she's CEO of Zazazu. It's a corporate platform aimed at helping women navigate challenges at work and home. Welcome to Work It, Jingjing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jingjing, so when we first met, right, you told me a story about you going into a meeting with all these men and they felt that you should be wearing dresses instead of pants.
Yes.
So maybe tell our listeners a bit about your journey.
Yeah.
You started in a very male-focused industry, right? Male-dominated industry. And I think people don't quite understand what that's like.
Yeah. So I started my career back in Germany. I studied industrial engineering and then did my, as you mentioned, I was always the only one, in a way, only Asian, only woman, especially in automotive field. Mm. And literally in that industry, we have a lot of old white men. And for them, it's actually has been a good experience because they see an Asian woman and they think, wow, something new is coming to our industry, which is generally is a good thing for them. I made my career quite fast. I become the global marketing director at age of 35. And there was this event where you mentioned where we were to present to the board of director, huge, biggest client.
Yeah.
Everything was properly prepared and I had this black suit on. Nothing could go wrong. Everything, we answer every question.
Yeah.
And the president at the end made a closing remark saying, Mrs. Liu, the next time when you present in front of us, I expect you to dress appropriately.
Wow.
And this was not even when I was 35. It was early 30. I just took on the role. And I was literally the only woman. My colleague was telling me, okay, when you enter the room, you shake hands first. Because according to your name, Liu, people wouldn't know whether you are a man or woman. Firstly, because Jingjing is not that clear for German. Mm-hmm. And so you introduce yourself first. So save the embarrassment for everyone.
Right.
Again, Germany, you know, a bit outdated, the norm at that time as well. So I did that. Also, the president was like, oh, it's Mrs. Liu. Took him by surprise as this meeting is led by an Asian woman. Completely out of norm.
Yeah.
And then I think in hindsight afterwards, is he didn't know what to say. And the only thing to correct whatever was in that meeting was then my appearance.
Yeah.
Because for him, he is in his early 60s.
Yes.
Only women who have worked for him are secretaries, assistants. And we had, in that meeting, 25 people. Right. I was literally the only woman except his EA.
Yes, except the other person taking notes.
Exactly.
What was your immediate thought when he said inappropriate attire?
Yeah, did you even know what he was talking about?
No. I think half of the colleague also didn't know what he meant because we were in the age, everyone was 40 maybe, and I was the youngest. Only in our delegation at that time, someone was 50. He said afterwards, he said, Jingjing, did you know what he meant? And I said, no. He said, yeah, because you are a woman, you should wear a dress. This was 2012.
Wow.
So 10 years ago. Is, and for me, in Germany, it's a very advanced economy, country.
Yes,
how could this happen? And interestingly, it won't happen in Singapore because women have always worked. Whereas in Germany, for that generation, women have their role to stay at home. Their majority role is care work, not breadwinning.
That's such an interesting anecdote. And I think in a way, led you to this current journey, right? But tell me, of all the things to do with your money, Why decide to put it into a business helping women?
I was quite bored with my corporate career. I started something when I was 26.
Oh, wow.
As a side business that eventually become a multi-million euro business.
Yeah.
And then that brought me to Singapore. We wanted to expand.
Yeah.
I quit my corporate job at that time and with the goal to expand here in Southeast Asia.
Mm.
And then 2019, we got an excellent offer before COVID and COVID hit and we exited. And it was like, okay, now it's time.
Right.
And with the money, you have certain security for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What is that one thing you always wanted to do?
Right.
And now. So I thought, okay, it has always been a passion and calling for me to help women because I grew up in China. So I went to Germany when I was 15.
Mm.
I come from Beijing, but I don't look like Beijingese. I have dark skin. I am very extroverted.
Okay.
And in the 80s, dark skinned, your parents must be farmers. And my parents, they were not around. They worked a lot. And my grandparents didn't spend a lot of time with me either. So this was this weird kid, has no one loved her. And then she's so extroverted and not this good, calm, tame girl.
Quiet Chinese girl.
And she was so ugly because her skin is so dark. You're
Ding
so surprised.
Ding is totally not ugly,
today,
by the way.
Today I'm confident to say that. But back then was really a sad, ugly duckling story.
Yeah.
So then I really cut my hair. I said, I want to be a boy. Because I can't succeed as a girl.
Right.
Not good in school, character-wise, also not tame. And then when I was turned 15, I was like, okay, there is no chance for me to excel in China.
Mm.
I want to go to a country where individualism is celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I can't compete on beauty or academic or anything.
Yeah.
And that actually changed my life in a way in Germany because then suddenly you become, oh, beautiful because your skin
you're exotic.
But I'm exactly the same person.
Right.
That would rarely happen to a man. This was one of my first recognition. Oh, in a moment where you change context, where you become beautiful, you get a lot of praise. People start to support you and people start to like you. And that built slowly my confidence. And then working for male-dominated domains, study something that only 10% of women study.
Yeah.
And my professor used to say, out of 10%, 80% look like men. So you really are, which is an insult, but which was true.
Right.
Because the beautiful girl, they study marketing, MBA, the cool stuff.
Yeah.
The geeks, sure. We study industrial engineering.
They study comms, right?
Then I experienced a lot of women in automotive industry. They are excellent in what they do. They work like hell. But when the promotion opportunity came, non-Asian would raise their hand. And women wouldn't raise their hand either.
Mm.
It's always the guy raise their hand. And the funny part is the guy who raise their hand are usually not qualified. If a woman raise hand and says something, embarrassed herself in a way, she would take it very personally versus men, they just wouldn't.
Right.
And
come to think of it, I've never raised my hand for promotion.
I think in Singapore culture, you seldom raise hand.
Maybe there's some cultural nuances
as well.
Yeah, possibly.
But it's interesting that you basically lean into your own interest. It's not something intentional, I just want to do something different. It's actually something that you're interested in and somehow you found your blue ocean.
Yes, blue ocean. And then for women, and it has been very painful to witness a lot of women just do the great work but never been recognized and passed by promotion to less qualified men simply because they don't know how to speak the language of men. Let me put it this way.
I think
I really want to emphasize is that women don't need to be fixed. Organization need to be fixed because everything's actually built on a very outdated society where women need to take care of children and men go to work.
Yeah.
And still today, the workplace structure in that way.
Hmm.
But now we expect women to take care of home at the same time to excel in the corporate world or in any company.
We were talking about this before. You see, in a corporate setting, people would say, okay, there's weekend duty. You need to fly for like 2 weeks and meet the client, etc. And you were saying, who's going to put up their hands? The guy who is not doing the day-to-day caring of the kid, right?
Yep.
Because if I care about caring about my kid, I'm going to turn that down. And I'm going to say, look, I can't do 2 weeks without my kids, right?
Yeah.
I totally agree. So the structure is there. Obviously, they're going to pick the guy, like you said.
Yeah.
So my difficulty with this is that sometimes that's the nature of the work too. Mm. So as a woman, do I have to think carefully about the choices that I'm making as well?
Absolutely.
That maybe this season I can't do this stuff.
Yeah, I think it does make sense to really be a bit more deliberate, especially during the phase of your life. But it reminded me of a conversation I have with a friend. She took on an overseas role in Thailand, from Singapore, moved over to Thailand just by herself when her kid was only 1 year old. And she's a she. So it's not the typical story that you hear of. Yeah. So when I asked her, most people would just say no to that opportunity. Why do you say yes? Oh, I do not want when I grow up and guilt trip my kid that because of you, I did not take up that opportunity. Yeah. So I found it to be quite refreshing that she see it from that lens where even though, yes, I have a kid, but I also want to make sure that everyone else still be able to have their opportunity, including myself.
I think that's actually the exact right way. We always assume women want the same thing. But some women don't want to have kids. Some women want to have kids and a career. Some women just want to have kids. There are so many different, and there are so many judgments towards women, regardless what you do. Having kids and have a career, or how can you neglect your kids? Having kids and not have a career, or how can you waste your talent?
Correct.
Not having kids, only career, or how egoistic of you. Who is going to take care of you when you're getting old?
Yeah.
Not having kids, not having career, also screwed.
Yes.
So there are so many judgments. And for women, and I think what I want also the work we do with the company is that you have to define success on
yourself.
Because very often society tell women you can have it all. I do believe you can have it all, but not at the same time.
Yes.
This sentence is not there. Have it all, meaning doing it all, and we're doing enough. So having it all, have season. When I have young children, I decided not to go back to corporate, although I know because my business gives me more flexibility. When they become older, I will pave my way. I think maybe when they're 8 or 10, in that season of my life, I will prepare myself to go back to corporate as senior executive.
Right.
And we somehow have to cut down life in different seasons.
Yeah.
And which season priority in each season is also different. And I think also from maternity instinct perspective, like you share this lady, for some women I work with, they say, I feel guilty that I took this role because my kids are so small, they needed me.
Yeah.
But I don't feel guilty. Is it wrong? The story you share, we have a lot in with our clients, and they say people are judging us, saying, how can you leave your kids? It's 1 year old.
Yes.
And then she would say, but she needs her dad as much as the mom.
Yep.
So, yeah, if the dad is there doing the job, what's the problem?
What's the problem? Exactly.
Right.
But the society, as long as people always question. I have this great example. When the business took off, my baby was just born. So my husband was taking my baby to the hospital to regular checkup. And from the way when she entered the hospital, the nurses, the doctor, and the one who gave them vaccine, going back home, everyone asked, where's mommy? Mommy forgot to fill this up. Where's mommy? Mommy don't want to hold her hands. Where's mommy? Everyone asked, where's mommy? And my husband is like, okay, I am here as well.
Hello. It's me.
And I think as long as society always associate women with caregiving, this woman's job to take care of children, women will always feel guiltful. And very often, some women don't have this very strong view to make a big career, and then they end up, okay, my main purpose in life is taking care of kids. And then after 3-4 years, they recognize, oh, now somehow the career path has somehow, I missed that track. And how do I go back? But now children are really obsessed with you because you took care of them for so long as the sole parent. Now you will really feel guilty.
Yeah.
But they leave and they're going to cry versus, let's just say, a couple, both take, not even 50-50, just take turns with children.
Yeah.
They are as attached to the father as to mothers.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah, when I was doing outplacement, I see a lot of women taking a leave of absence when their kid go and take PSLE. but I never see any men quit their job for 1 year.
That's because they can't do the math.
That is a very good point. So, okay, let's go back to today's discussion. And we want to focus a little bit more on a specific group of women. Those who are in their 50 to 60 age band. Right now, we see a lot of discussion about Joe Biden, Donald Trump, how at 77, 81, they're a bit too old for office. I think the society we live in can be a bit ageist. Talk to us, how does that affect women differently?
Ageism affects everyone. Yes. And women. Yeah. But have you ever heard old women in any term as a good term?
In any context.
In any context.
A 60-year-old.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Whereas old man, you know, George Clooney is an old man, but he's pretty hot, isn't it? Old women from old age want to be his partner.
Yeah.
And let's say older men are often associated with wisdom.
Mm.
Whereas older women are dum-dum-dum. There's no better word to describe this. Just look at also cosmetic industry. We always want women to look young.
Yes.
Surgeries. You go to Orchard Road or any major city, look at the ads. Mm. Who are they? Beautiful young women.
Mm.
So women, beauty, age, this is something that deep ingrained in our culture.
Yes.
In every culture, that old equals bad.
Yeah.
And now women with gray hair.
Yes.
Getting on the magazine cover. I think there was a very famous one with Martha Stewart, the US famous entrepreneur.
Yes, Martha Stewart.
She's
at
80 and she wore a swimwear and beautiful cover.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong because we are celebrating not Martha Stewart's 80 looks 80. We're celebrating Martha Stewart's 80 but look actually like 50.
Mm.
And I think this is where society get it wrong because we want women, we do want older women, but as long as they look young. Have you ever heard, you know, I always say people tell, when do you know you are old? When people start to tell you, Christina, you look really young.
Yeah.
You are really old.
You know, I get that all the time. Okay. When I look around a CEO list, I was actually quite shocked at some of the women who are in the 50 or 50 list, right?
Mm.
You have 93-year-old pharmacologists, you have 67-year-old CEOs, etc. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Right? It's like I've almost normalized the fact that the CEO could perfectly be a 70-year-old guy. But somehow, if I think of a CEO as a 70-year-old woman, that changes my perspective.
Yeah.
She has to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like she has to be put together.
Mm.
Is that your experience as well?
Yeah. So we are generally tougher on women than we are on men.
Mm.
That women need to fill into a certain pattern, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
She needs to be put together. When she makes a mistake on stage, that's often over-criticized as well because of her gender. And this is just society. Because as long as women are still the minority within the 50 list, what you mentioned, it's easy to pick on them. Whereas in the moment, let's just get any stock-registered company. When you suddenly have 50% C-level are men, 50% C-level are women, you will immediately say things are normalized.
Mm.
But in the moment where now minority are women still.
Yeah. Mm.
So now you have 8 men and 1 woman. Of course, all eyes are on this woman. Oh, what makes her different?
Yes.
Then we judge, oh, she has no children. That's why she made it. Okay.
Or she has children.
I would say the same. Because what's the price? What's the cost behind that?
Yeah. Either she doesn't have kids or she has 2 mates to help her.
Exactly. So she comes from a privileged position, which is often the truth. And this is why I think society need, organization need to change because it's a fact that women who has made it on the list, they either are privileged, meaning they are 2 mates, they have supportive system, they come from wealthy family.
Yes, yes.
Or they don't have children.
Yes.
Or they have a house husband, meaning that they are the breadwinner.
Mm.
And now think about it.
They have a spouse who performs the role of the caregiver.
Exactly. So she has a wife in that case.
Very good. I need this kind of person.
So, but then you look at the men, CEO men, majority have children. Majority of them have a life outside of their
of course
also majority. 3 ex-marriages
as well.
So one of the things that I was quite interested in was Jingjing was posting about this on her LinkedIn about somebody who didn't get the CTO job, and she figured that it was because she was 55. The job went to 40-something men. And one of the things they said was, look, this is going to be really tough for you. There's intense travel. There's all these cross-border connections that you need to stay up very late, etc. I know there's this concept. People come into their best corporate lives after 50. Mm. It's what Arthur Brooks calls crystallized intelligence. Mm. Mm. Because by then, you already know what you're. You don't give a damn about other people. Mm. You're very clear about who you are. Okay, that like, kind of sounds like me. Okay, anyway, my question is, how is it different for women? Men surely also do their best work after 50. So in your experience, when you talk to women, are you seeing something that people don't really see?
I think for women, most of them, if they have already made to their C-1, C-2 role, they are pretty secure in who they are. They know the corporate game. They don't have a limiting belief in themselves. They think they can make it, actually.
Okay.
But when you have been told your whole career, as in, oh, when you reach 50, that's the sunset generation. What about menopause? Some of them haven't even experienced menopause yet. But because they hear, oh, menopause is going to hit me soon, I hear hot flashes, I hear brain fog, I hear all these kind of things, they start to talk to themselves into, oh, I really had a bad luck, oh, maybe menopause is hitting soon.
Then I better not take this role.
I should not take this role because I don't want to embarrass myself, have this hot flush in front of all these men. All these kind of things are because you have been told from the society for decades that you're going to hit menopause. Game over. in that sense, really, literally.
I don't know. But it's not uniform for everybody.
It's not
uniform. Right?
And then not everyone experienced that. Some experienced much earlier perimenopause. There are, in the meanwhile, great supplements and great hormones
to cope with that.
Yeah. But the thing is that this is, again, with women. You mentioned before, these women, 93, 70-something, become CEO, whatever.
Winner of Nobel Prize.
But we don't know them because we have not learned to be vocal about our great work because we see this as bragging. Same is with the women about to hit. They are in their prime age, but they think, oh, there are so many limiting factors of myself. Now they don't ask me because I'm too old. Okay, I somehow accept it because I think I'm too old.
You know what, Jingjing? I feel like women in this age group, that they have the best time.
Ever. Yes.
No, because my kids are grown up. I don't have to care about them at all. They don't really check in with me. So I feel almost as if I'm single again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the freedom to spend 18 hours on something is there if
something
I want
it. Absolutely. And that's exactly what I'm emphasizing also when our team work with the women or when we work organizations. Very often things are much less complicated than we think because we have been told when older women equals bad. So we don't question the status quo. Meaning when HRC, oh, she's 55, okay, next. If I have a 47 male candidate, I'm going to take him. So what should women do? You need to stand up and say, okay, exactly the question, this candidate didn't get the CTO. The HR mentioned, okay, these are the factors. Do you really think you can cope with all of them? Instead, you should say, have you experienced me not taking the call in the night, firstly, in the past? Never. Let's talk about facts. Okay. Have you experienced me hot flushes and have to run to the toilet and embarrass everyone?
No.
Have you experienced me not fulfill any of my obligations? I didn't come to C-1 by not fulfilling my roles. I achieved C-1, C-2 level because I freaking earned it. And there are facts. Let data speak for you. And often women are, instead of they just silently accept, they think, oh, maybe it's not enough. Maybe they are right. If everyone telling me this. And also, let's not forget who are the role models we see. Because I look at my mom. My mom's the exception because she's very a successful businesswoman. But usually you look at the mother generation or all this decision maker men generation. They look at their mothers.
Yeah.
Usually their mothers were just mothers. So if he thinks, oh, no, I associate older women with my mother in the sense of she has never done corporate. She's a caregiver. I would never see older women as corporate leaders, as a C-level, because I can't see it. I can't visualize it.
Yeah.
even today, you'd go to ChatGPT or anything. CEO, give me 5 pictures. That's going to be mad. No?
See, ChatGPT is a male. Okay, Adrian, we need to wrap. So maybe your question can be the final one.
Yeah, I don't have a story to share, and it's quite different. I'd like to get your take on this. So I have a friend. He's an Indian man, and he went around looking for a CHRO job, which he was very much qualified for. And in one of his roles, he was told during the interview point blank that, I'm so sorry, for diversity reason, we need to fill this role with a woman. And he was rejected. So right now he's in Berlin in some other job. But when I was reflecting back on this situation for him, as much as I understand company was trying to achieve diversity and inclusion, but I feel in this instance, they may have somewhat overdone it and made it worse. But how do they balance this conundrum?
Yeah, this is a very, really tough topic. Often now, exactly what you mentioned, we experience a lot where men coming to us and saying, or coming to us, how do I do DEI right? How do I get more women, but without upsetting the men?
Yeah.
I would see this a little bit from a different perspective. Because the hypothesis before is that men were default. DEI can only be done right. Let the best person take the job where everyone's equal, meaning men and women. We have equal opportunities or different race, different color. Now we all start at the same line and now let the best qualification speak for itself.
Yep.
But it's not the case.
Yeah.
Most of the time, let's say in the Western world, it's the white men who have been privileged and they were the default when they are taking the role. In Asia, maybe it's the
Chinese guy.
For example, Singapore, Chinese privilege in a way. They are the default options. So now you actually need to lift up the minority. Let it be women, let it be Indian men, let it be men of color, women of color, to fulfill by all else equal when the qualifications are similar. Organizations do need to deliberately select them to balance that out. In the moment when the organization do this step in every level of there, from junior manager to senior to C-level, after a while, you'll reach the critical mass where it looks like United Benetton.
We are all
diverse in that sense. Then you can really pick the best candidate. But as long as you haven't bridged the gap yet, you do need to select the ones that are different. But the argument that HR brought is catastrophe. You cannot say that we are deliberately looking for an Asian woman.
It's these the are just, way they explain it sounds like
and this actually alienates your allies. This Indian gentleman might be an ally actually for exactly. If the lady has a better qualification, let her have it. But now your argument is because of something that I can't change because I'm an Indian man. The argument, this is the worst ever.
And now he has a new enemy.
Exactly.
So Crispina, when you sent to me the brief, I was actually watching the news, and as usual, it's about the Israel-Hamas conflict. And I was just wondering, would the world be more peaceful if women ran all the countries instead?
100% yes.
So I go and do a bit of research. According to Steven Pinker's book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, the answer appears to be yes. Because over the long sweep of history, women has been and will continue to be a pacifying force. I think all the past years, Miss Universe actually know it best, which is world peace.
I want to share something I came across as part of preparing for this episode. It's about us. Ursula von der Leyen, she's 65 and president of the European Commission. Yep. Okay. What was she doing at 26? She had a medical degree, but she was taking care of kids. Seven, in fact.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. She was following her husband and he ended up in Stanford. But the interesting thing to me was she enters government at 45. Exactly. And Angela Merkel gives her this meaty portfolio. She enters at a stage where most women are thinking of winding down. She's accelerated, and then now at 65 she's at the top of her game. This story illustrates the critical importance of something we talked about changing, which is seasons. I think that for women in particular, because of our biology, because of the things that we want, sometimes competing things, but that's fine. When I decided to quit my job, my editor, that's exactly what she told me. Such a waste. And then my mom said exactly the same thing. Like, why are you wasting your education? Blah, blah, blah. But looking back, it was the right thing for me to do. So if you choose motherhood over management, good for you. If you choose management over motherhood, fine.
Good for you as well.
Good for you as well. Just stand by your choices.
Own it. Yeah.
Own it and don't get down by the judgy people around you.
And make the best out of it.
Yeah, and make the best out of it. But I think it's critical that when we talk about women, it's the people around her that matter.
Yeah.
Her partner, her boss, her mentors. Mm. Those make a huge difference. That's my takeaway.
Thanks, Jingjing, for being our guest today. We want to wish all our women listeners happy International Women's Day this week. Thanks to the CNA podcast team. Till we meet next week, goodbye.